Good evening. I'm thankful for this opportunity to be with you. Looking forward to being able to study God's Word with you tonight. What a privilege it is to be able to come together this wonderful evening, as Brother Holton mentioned in his prayer, to worship God, to open His Word, and to allow His Word to build us up. All of us need to be built up, to be strengthened in the most holy faith. And as we turn to God's Word, we understand that God's Word is designed to build us up, according to Acts 20, verse number 32. And so tonight we are going to be preaching from God's Word, and we're going to allow God's Word to strengthen us. Well, tonight we are going to continue to talk about a subject that we began talking about this morning, and it has to do with courage. And I want to go back to a passage found in Acts chapter 18. I just want to make reference of this. In Acts chapter 18, verses 8 through 11, when Paul went into the city of Corinth, we see that God told Paul not to be afraid. Paul, don't be afraid at what you see when you go into Corinth. You don't hold back. You preach my word. You preach the gospel. And that's what Paul did throughout the book of Acts, throughout his missionary journeys. He boldly proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we stop and think about Acts chapter 8, it reminds me of the need of courage. And it takes a lot of courage to be a New Testament Christian. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, we see that God doesn't want us to have a spirit of fear, a spirit of timidity, because fear paralyzes us spiritually speaking. We see that in Numbers chapter 13. God wants us to have an active faith. He wants us to have a bold and courageous faith. The kind of faith that will speak up. The kind of faith that doesn't hold back because of what we might see in the world. Courage is important. Courage is something that we must have if we're going to be faithful children of God. Let me just read you a definition of courage, and we're going to continue to talk about courage. But think about this definition. Courage is the attitude of facing and dealing with anything recognized as dangerous, difficult, or painful instead of drawing from it. Some have defined courage as the quality of being fearless and brave. Others have defined courage as mental strength or moral strength. Now you stop and think about that last definition, mental and moral strength. And that's the idea of virtue. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5, the Apostle Peter says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, and he's going to list out some things that we're to add to our faith. The first on the list is virtue. Mm-hmm. Virtue can be translated as moral strength. Moral strength, something that we are to add to our faith. Solomon says in Proverbs 28, verse number 1, that the righteous are as bold as a lion. The righteous, speaking about those who follow God, are to be bold as a lion. And so tonight, I want us to emphasize the need for courage. And the courage that it takes to be the Christian, to speak up like we should, to let our light shine, certainly takes courage on our part. The Bible is filled with examples of those who demonstrated that lion-hearted courage like we see in Peter, like we see in Paul. We can turn to the Old Testament, and I'm just going to mention just a few, and you may want to turn to these examples. We don't have time to look at the story in detail, but as we look at a few examples of those who demonstrated this lion-hearted courage, those who demonstrated bravery in the face of danger, what we will do is just highlight a couple of passages and look at several examples. And I'm sure you can add to these examples. I'm almost confident that Brother Sam is going to come up to me after services and ask me, why didn't I mention so-and-so? And why did? Well, because there's a bunch of examples, and so I'm going to just mention a handful. I figured you'd get a kick out of that. First is found in the book of Judges. The first example of courage is found in the book of Judges. And I believe you're going to like this example. It has to do with Gideon. Well, as you're turning over to the book of Judges, let me remind you of that cycle that we see in the book of Judges, where God's people would be faithful, they would draw away from God, they would end up serving the enemy, they would cry out to God, and God would then give the people a judge, and the judge would then deliver the people from the enemy. That cycle is repeated throughout the book of Judges, the cycle of life, we might say. But here in Judges chapters 6 through 8, we read about Gideon. And the people of God were delivered into the hands of the Midianites, and God raised up Gideon, and Gideon would deliver the Israelites. Well, there's a great story here about Gideon and the courage that Gideon had, even going against his father's religion. And we could even look at that as an example. And that certainly would be a great example. It would take courage to go down and tear down your father's altar that he built to serve the true and living God. Well, that's the kind of person Gideon was. A man of great, great courage. Well, Gideon is going to go against the Midianites, and I know you're familiar with this story. But we see that Gideon, or God has really a plan for Gideon to select just a few men. There were thousands of soldiers, but that number ultimately would be reduced to 300. Gideon and the 300 soldiers would go up against 135,000 Midianites. Now, if you were to walk by sight, not by faith, 135,000, only 300, no way. The odds definitely are against me. Well, Gideon obviously had faith in God, trusted God, but he also had courage. He wasn't afraid to go against the enemy. What's interesting, though, as you look at Judges 6 through 8, how God reduced that number. First thing God says, the fearful, the unbelieving, let them go. The army reduced drastically. In fact, you know, as I was thinking about this, this is actually an Old Testament principle. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 8, the people of God had actually received legislation on when they would go to war. And one of the things is, God says, if the people are afraid, you let them go. Don't let them go to war if they're afraid, if they're going to be cowards, because that would affect the entire army. And really, to me, you see a picture of that in Numbers chapter 13. Remember, 13 spies were sent out to spy out the land, and those 13, the majority of the spies, I guess we would say, had a huge effect on the people. And the spies essentially said, we can't do this. The people are stronger than we can. And they wanted to go back to Egypt. Only Joshua and Caleb had the courage to say, you know, we can do this. Well, God reduces Gideon's army, and listen to Judges chapter 7, verse 7. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand, and let all other people go, every man unto his place. And so Gideon, with 300 soldiers, went up against the Midianites. Again, moral strength. It was mental strength that compelled Gideon to carry this out. Gideon is one who demonstrated courage in the face of danger. Think about this next example found in the book of Esther. You go to the book of Esther, and here's another great story. You can be turning over to Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4, and as you're turning over there, I'll quickly bring you up to date, if you please. Haman had received a promotion, and as he received this promotion, he was now in a position of authority. And Haman was going to make it difficult for the Jews. And you remember a man by the name of Mordecai, who wouldn't bow down to any image, to any false god. And Haman didn't like that. And so Haman made a plot to destroy the Jews. And you remember he made gallows to hang Mordecai upon. Well, when Mordecai catches wind of this, that Haman had a plot to destroy him and ultimately destroy the Jews, he is going to bring this news to Esther. And he says in verse number 13 of chapter 4, "Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, 'Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews.'" Esther, this isn't only going to affect me. What Haman has in store is going to affect you. It's going to affect the entire nation. And so we see it in verse 14. "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there an enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Do you see what Mordecai is doing as he is speaking to Esther? Esther, this is not a time to be silent. A time to hold your peace. This isn't a time to maybe just see how things play out. If there's somebody that can make a difference, Esther, it's going to be you. But you're going to have to speak up. And you're going to have to go before the king. Think about the courage, the mental strength that would take to go before the king. In fact, look at this, verse number 15. "Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, 'Go rather together all, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise.'" This was an intense situation. And listen to it. Listen to what she says. "And I will go into the kingdom which is not according to the law." Listen to it. "If I perish, I perish." You think about this courageous act. You think about the mental strength that it would take to go before the king. She knew that there was a chance that if she presented herself before the king, which was not lawful, she could be killed. But you know the outcome of this story. And we might say it like this. Her courageous act saved an entire nation. And that's what we're emphasizing about this courage. This lion-hearted courage that it takes to be a Christian. Courage can make all the difference in the world. Look at the story of Esther. And then you have the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, recorded in Daniel chapter 3. And remember, they refused to bow down to the image, the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had made. Refused to bow down. And they too had the attitude, if we perish, we perish. But one thing is for sure, we're not going to bow down to this golden image. Again, think about the courage that it would take to do that. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in the fiery furnace, and yet we see because of their courage, they overcame. And then in Daniel chapter 6, you have the story of Daniel being thrown into the lion's den because he prayed to God just like he prayed every day. And remember, there were those princes that were trying to find an accusation against Daniel, trying to bring charges against Daniel. He was such a good person. They had a hard time finding anything against Daniel, and so they attacked his religion. They finally figured out something that they could do, and they brought that accusation. Daniel was praying to his God, and he was thrown into the lion's den. You know, you stop and think about that story. Daniel, just don't pray for a while. And once the decree passes, you'll be able to pray once again. What's the big deal? Well, you can see the courage that Daniel demonstrated for righteousness. Praying to God and worshiping God really mattered to Daniel. And sometimes it takes that courage when it comes to worshiping God. As Joshua would say, "For as me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24, verse number 15. And Joshua would be another example that we can turn to that demonstrated courage in the face of fear. And those are probably the most well-known examples, and there are many more we can look at. There are some that are less familiar. Think about the courage of Ezra when he came out of captivity, and the things that Ezra did in restoring the law, and how he would lead the people in this in Ezra chapter 8. Or think about the courage of Nehemiah and the opposition that he faced in rebuilding the walls. And remember what he said about the work of the Lord, "I'm doing a great work." And he didn't allow the opposition of his day to keep him from rebuilding the walls and doing the Lord's work. He didn't become discouraged because he had great, great courage. And then you have the Apostle Paul, and we mentioned the Apostle Paul this morning in our study. You have the courage of Timothy. You have the courage of Peter, the courage of Barnabas, the courage of the Apostle John, the courage of Epaphroditus, the courage of Philemon. And think about the courage it would take on the behalf of Philemon to take Onesimus back. Think about what people would say about Philemon, because that was unheard of. To take back a runaway slave? Onesimus broke Roman law. Philemon had every right to bring charges against this man, but he doesn't do that. Because Onesimus, as you know, was converted to Christ, and Paul encourages Philemon to receive him back as a brother. Friends, it would take courage for Philemon to do that. We could spend all night talking about the courage that was demonstrated by so many faithful followers of God in the face of danger. Well, with that said, think about these observations. Just general observations about courage. And this really even goes back to what we said this morning in our lesson. To be a good soldier of Jesus Christ takes courage. Listen to this. Courage is manly. There is absolutely nothing weak about Christianity. Yet so many in the world downplay Christianity as you know it. So many of the world think that Christianity is for weaklings. But as we study the Scriptures, as we go back through the Old Testament, you will see that that is different. What demands more strength, more courage? To follow a multitude to do evil, or to follow the Lamb wheresoever He goeth, Revelation 14, verse number 4. Which is easier? Which takes more strength? To be conformed to this world, or to come out from among the world and be separate? Romans 8, verse 29, and Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. We can look at so many different examples along those lines. It takes courage when it comes to Christianity. And so courage is manly. Notice the second observation. Courage can help us overcome our fears. And we mentioned an example of this already in Numbers chapter 13. The entire nation of God's people, with the exception of a few, were paralyzed because of fear. Courage helps us overcome our fears. Again, what was it that kept the people from entering the promised land? Hebrews 3 verse number 19 says it was unbelief. Unbelief. And it's the fearful and the unbelieving, Revelation 21, 6 through 8, that will be cast in to the lake of fire. But Joshua and Caleb, Numbers 14, 24, had a different spirit. What kind of spirit did they demonstrate? A spirit of courage. You remember they said, we are well able to do this. When you're going through Numbers 13, you'll see that the spy said this about the enemies. They eat up the inhabitants of the people. The enemy is so powerful that they have control over the entire land. They eat up the inhabitants of the people. They overtake people. But I love what Joshua and Caleb said about the enemy. They be bread for us. Because God is with us. Again, courage. Courage helps us overcome our fears so that we will make good decisions, righteous decisions. In Psalm 56, verse 3, the psalmist said, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. Don't misunderstand me. There are going to be times, there are going to be situations that might be set before us that might be a little intimidating. We might be afraid, but courage helps us overcome our fears. Notice this third observation. Courage, and this is a good point, courage is attainable. Maybe you struggle with fear, being scared, shying away from doing what is right, standing up for Christ. Maybe you struggle with that. Well, listen to this point. Courage is attainable. You know, when Moses died, Joshua would lead the people of God. I love studying the life of Joshua. He was such a valiant individual. And there are so many lessons that we can learn from Joshua. But when Moses died, in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua would be the new leader. And the Lord will tell Joshua to be strong and to be courageous. And He's going to tell him that more than once. But within that, we see how courage is attainable. After the Lord says to Joshua to be strong and courageous, and you'll see this in Joshua 1, verse number 9, God says to Joshua, I will be with you. That's why courage is attainable. That's why we can stand up for righteousness. That's why we can make good decisions and not following a multitude to do evil, to come out from among the world and be separate, and to have the courage to say, you know, I'm not going to do that, or you shouldn't do that because that's not right. Knowing that the Lord is with us. You see, we're not alone in this battle. We're not alone. God is with us. And throughout Scripture, God reminds us that He is there. His presence gives us courage. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, the writer says, let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that ye may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. When Jesus gave the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, He reminds us in Matthew 28, verse number 20, lo, I am with you. We're not alone in this. God is with us, and His presence strengthens us. In Psalm 23, a great psalm, the shepherd's psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. Courage helps us overcome our fears. Courage is attainable when we remember that we're not alone. The Lord is with us. I believe we could also say today that the church is suffering in a lot of different ways. And it might be that the church is suffering because the church is lacking in courage. Instead of speaking up and standing up, we're like the children of Israel at times. In the days of battle, we turn back, just like Israel did in Psalm 78. We don't need to turn back in the day of battle. We need to stand up for what is right. And we need to speak up. And as you think about the application, I mentioned the church. Let me be a little bit more specific. Our young people need to demonstrate courage. As we see in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be an example. And then Paul's going to list several things in word, in conduct, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You be an example to the world. But it takes courage in order to do that. Look at Daniel and the courage that he had again. And you can go to Daniel chapter 1 that he wouldn't defile himself with the king's food. He was going to live a pure and holy life. Young people, you can have that same determination to be like Daniel. In your courage as a young person, when it comes to doing what is right, can have a huge impact on others. Husbands and wives, you can demonstrate courage by following the New Testament pattern for the family. And that's recorded in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 6. God has roles for men and women. Women aren't inferior. We have different roles. The husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. Wives are to submit to their own husbands in everything. Again, that's the New Testament pattern. But it takes courage to say, you know what? We're going to follow God. We're not going to listen to what the world has to say about how we should conduct our home. We're going to listen to God. And we're going to follow God like Joshua, who had the courage to say, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." That means we're going to be faithful. As a family, we're going to be involved. We're going to be spiritual. We're going to try to make a difference. We're going to try to do the right thing. Oh, we'll make mistakes, but we're going to try to do the right thing and have an impact on others. And what is it that motivates us to do that? It's courage. Add to your faith virtue, this moral and mental strength that helps us to always do what is right in the face of danger. Preachers need to have more courage when it comes to preaching the Word, and only the Word. Oh, it takes courage to speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4, verse number 11. You know, it's probably not very difficult to talk about God's love for mankind. It's a great subject, or to talk about the grace of God. But that's not the totality of the gospel. There are some things in God's Word that are difficult to preach on. And preachers need to have the courage to preach the whole counsel of God. Acts chapter 20, verses 1, or really the whole chapter, as Paul meets with the elders at Ephesus. Paul says, "I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." The congregation needs the whole counsel of God. Not a cafeteria approach to the Word of God where the preacher might pick this or pick that, but you know, he sees the different challenges and the different problems going on in the church, but he won't preach on those things because he's afraid that he might be asked to leave. And you know what? If a preacher's asked to leave because he's preaching the whole counsel of God, so be it. The Lord will take care of that man. The Lord will take care of his family. Again, it takes courage to be a gospel preacher. You know, when the apostles were carrying out the Great Commission in Acts chapter 4, they prayed for boldness. I had a man that texted me this morning, in fact, asking for prayers. "Pray for me, brother. I'm preaching a difficult lesson this morning. A lesson on gossip. A lesson on evil speaking. And it's a challenge down here where I'm preaching. I'm not too sure how it's going to go, but will you please pray that I have the courage to speak as I ought to speak?" And so I prayed for him. Again, it takes courage. I know we don't have elders here. Maybe one of these days, Lord willing, we will. But elders need to have courage in shepherding the people of God. It takes a lot of courage to be in a position of leadership, to lead not by force, but by example. You see, it takes courage for every Christian to be faithful. Courage will always help us do what is right. And may God help us to do what is right. And may we have this lion-hearted courage that Solomon spoke about long ago in Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 1. Tonight we want you to know that the Lord is here to help all of us. The Lord is here to help us to have the courage to stand up and to do what is right. Remember these Old Testament stories and New Testament stories that we mentioned, because courage can make a difference in this world. It can make a difference in a congregation. May God help us to always have the courage to stand up for what is right. The lesson is yours tonight. If we can help you, spiritually speaking, in anything, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.